Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me as always, it's Ben Vanell.
Hey Tommy, it's good to see you again. As I do every week, I see you in person to do the podcast.
I don't know about that. We've missed a couple of weeks here and there of visual communication with each other.
Name one.
Oh, when I was in Japan and Thailand recently, and then before that when I was in Europe for 6 weeks. That's just right off the top of my head. I didn't even have to think about that. I just ran rings around you.
Prove it.
Well, why on earth would you bring something like that up, Ben? What point were you possibly trying to make?
Oh, it's time for us to dial in our foreign correspondent. Oh, yes. As he is.
Okay, guys, I think my Skype's dropped out because you've been ignoring me for half an hour.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hey, Ben, can you hear that?
That sounded like it was coming from inside the house.
Yes, I think this apartment might be haunted.
It's got the same level of echoiness that every microphone when we record in my apartment always does.
It's a ghost. I think Adam's apartment might be haunted.
Yeah, because you and I are in Adam's apartment this week, recording as we have been for the past few weeks without him.
Yeah.
We just climb up the balcony and smash our way through.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm pissed off about that, actually. My door is important to me. A glass door.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's important to me. It's one of my most prized possessions.
Yes.
No, guys, we're playing funny buggers for all of you at home. Don't freak out.
We're playing buggers.
The boys are indeed back in town.
Yes.
Adam, on behalf of myself and Ben and all of the listeners of this podcast, welcome home.
Thank you very much. I'm trying to listen to how much of this is echoey because of my headphones and the fact that I'm listening to you twice and how much of it is because of my cavernous apartment. But I think it's the cavernous apartment.
I think
it's
maybe
rugless.
The apartment probably accounts for, I'm going to say 60, minimum 60%.
I reckon it's echoey because,
Did you say 85%?
Yeah.
I think 85%.
Yeah.
I need a rug maybe, but I don't like rugs.
Mm.
They get all crunkled up. On the corners, you know what I mean? I hate having to straighten out a rug all the goddamn time.
Get a round rug. That's what I've got.
Oh.
Change your life, brother.
Do they not? They'd still...
No.
They'd still bunch up.
No.
Yeah, they would.
Hang on. No, I just realized we were talking about this the other week. You're not quite 30 yet. And I remembered thinking like you do right now when I was 29 and then I woke up morning of my 30th birthday and it all changed. I was like, round rug makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. I don't like having stuff on rugs. You can't move it around easily. Do you know
why
that,
you
like,
do? Oh, I guess you do move your furniture around a fair bit.
I reorient my furniture quite often because I've got a relatively small living room and it can work differently for different situations and different configurations.
Okay.
You'll often move the furniture to the walls when we have a dance party here.
Yeah. Do you remember Hey Arnold's apartment?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't.
You mean his bedroom?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, his little bedroom. Yeah. It's sort of like an apartment though. He's got like a penthouse.
It's pretty much
a one bedroom apartment.
And
nothing else to it.
He could retract his couches and stuff with a remote control, and it's sort of like living that dream, but I just have to lug it around.
Yeah.
I thought that was the coolest thing when
it's
I was
sick.
A kid.
It's still
I
awesome.
I just was like, oh, that... What did he have? Because it's like, why don't you just have the couch permanently set up?
No,
why has it got to go into the wall?
I think his couch turned into
his
bed.
For dance parties. Oh,
okay.
I think it went and came around like that. Like one of the... Like that speakeasy... type thing with
Okay.
Sure.
I don't know if they actually did that or if that's just one episode of The Simpsons, but I could say that about a lot of my life experiences.
But Hey Arnold's bedroom, the other thing is it's already pretty big.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he needs to be compacting down on space. And also, it's 10 years old. Who needs a couch in the bedroom when you're 10 years old?
Badass. What's he doing that's in there? Who? No way. No, that remote, that's the shit. Well, and he never brought it up. He never bragged about it. He never brought Gerald around and went like, hey, Gerald, watch this.
And I liked that it was never explained how that all got set up and done. Yeah. It's not like his character is that he's like... It's not like a Jimmy Neutron character where he's a super genius, so of course he would know how to rig all this up.
Yeah,
no, it's just anything, a given, like he just knew what to do.
He's meant to be sort of like a relatively poor New Yorker.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Because like everyone else living in that like retirement home boarding setup house, or whatever it was, the boarding yes. house, you know, there are a lot of cans of beans going around.
Yep.
There are a lot of people going like, hey, I'm a bit cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were some episodes about rent, I feel like.
Yeah.
That one guy in particular, like the European dude. Do you remember him where he was like bald maybe?
Yep.
Anyway.
Hey, Arnold's apartment, cool. But when you're like looking for new places, you see one of those apartments with the bed that goes up into the wall?
Yeah.
Saddest thing you've ever seen. Oh, they always look so depressing.
Yeah, big time.
What a horses eat, Arnold. Hey, Arnold.
What was that?
It was
structured in the weirdest way.
It was wordplay.
What a horses eat,
Arnold. In the strictest sense.
Hey, Arnold.
Yeah, no, but shouldn't it be something
like... He's talking
like,
to Arnold.
Yeah, he's talking to Arnold?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Who cares, man? It's up to your interpretation. Comedy's art.
But shouldn't it be something like, what's the 90s TV show that's also
this
like...
This is already way worse.
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not.
But just you saying, what do horses eat, Arnold?
Yeah.
Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Arnold.
He's talking to Arnold. Yeah. I love
all right,
it now.
I've come around. Something about the echo in this room, hearing it refracted back at myself about 8 times as I said it, really got it to catch on with me.
You can do a knock-knock joke in here if you just say knock once. Knock.
Knock. Knock, man, Arnold.
It is bothering me, this echo. I hope it's not bothering people listening.
Yeah, I don't know.
It gets fixed in the...
Does it?
In the edit.
It better. I'm going to de-echo it.
I was listening to something the other day that was very echoey.
And it was a man yelling in a canyon.
It was really annoying me because it's a show that I know for a fact is recorded in like a big professional studio.
Yeah,
so it wasn't just like this kind of setup.
As a,
three fuckheads on Milo tins.
As a big fan of Thai soccer team podcast, that's one of the echoiest podcasts I've heard for a while.
Yeah.
Eventually it stopped being as echoey, but there are a few episodes there.
Man, they were potting in the cave. I didn't know that.
Dude.
Just another example of the media's bias against podcasting. They really buried that story.
I don't know. Those like gimmick podcasts where they go to a location. I don't know.
I recommended that podcast to Elon Musk and he called me a pedophile.
It's a great example of a true crime podcast because they're, you know, the crime of being trapped inside a cave. So they're reporting, but they're too deep within the crime to really be able to solve it, I guess. I'm really tired.
What you been doing?
I've just been having a lot of late nights potting, to be completely honest.
Yeah, right.
And then getting up early and then a lot of busy days of running around painting, if you must know.
Mm,
yeah.
You're a tagger now.
Stuff. Pardon?
You're a tagger.
I'm a tagger.
Yeah, you do graph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am sharing a studio space with a lot of street artists, a lot of taggers. Mm. And I got to say, a lot of that stuff I find to be quite repulsive.
Yeah, 100%.
Really having to keep my opinions to myself when I'm in there. Like they have this sign in the bathrooms at the moment that's like, hey guys, obviously here we're big fans of street art and mural art and everything, but the building owner is not. So, you know, if the man catches you tagging on the front of this building, you know, you're going to get the whole place shut down. And it's this really like anti-authoritarian, like how dare they try and tell us what we can and can't write on the side of the wall. And every time I see it, I'm like, I'm with the fucking building owner.
Dude,
on this
absolutely.
One.
It makes sense that somebody who thought that their work was good, like that their work deserved to be on somebody else's building, that they might overestimate their abilities. Do you know what I mean? It's the same type of personality that's going to think, God, my work is sick and should be wherever I want it to be.
Tommy's got an exhibition coming up, of course.
Yeah, I don't quite know. I've kind of snuck in because that's not what my sort of stuff is really. And
not
also, to be fair, the gallery that the little space that I have is out the back of, it's not exclusively street art, but then every now and then they do have stuff that veers a little too close to public bathroom tagging for my liking.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
This one isn't going to work.
Well, now I definitely want to hear it.
What's the name of the baboon in the gritty remake of The Lion King? Graffiti.
That's good.
That is good.
See, you structured that in a way that I could understand. Yes. That my small mind could understand.
Yeah, but cop out. He lowered the expectations too much at the start. Got to commit to it.
Nah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you half commit, you double achieve.
You certainly shouldn't look at a text message that you got on your phone mere milliseconds after delivering the punch.
That was a congratulatory text for
from the Academy.
Yes. Joke of the day.
Oh, he's gone back in for a second look.
Yes. I was checking whether or not it was worth checking and it wasn't.
Okay. Well, speaking of The Lion King, this got announced during the week, a remaster of the Super NES and Mega Drive games.
Now, is it a remaster or is
just a
re-release?
Port.
Yeah.
It's a fucking ROM with like they've made a border.
Those always looked at. I always think
I hate that
at the
shit.
Very least, kind of work out how to stretch it to the side of the screen.
Or
it
like
looks dog shit.
Charge what that sort of thing should be worth, which is way less than the like $20-ish they tend to go for. Mm. Because they're like, oh, but look at all this new art and we've got concept art. And it's like, yeah. Who gives a shit about someone's drawing of Simba?
Yeah.
If you want to see a drawing of Simba, come to my fridge. I got 100 drawings of Simba on there.
Well, and also these games were made like 20 years ago and it's not like
25?
Yeah. So it's like the concept art that you've got in there is just whatever's still around right now. Do you know what I mean? It's not like this stuff has been archived. They're like, one day people are going to want to know what the developer's sketch of, you know, Pumbaa looked like.
Mm.
It's in keeping of the spirit of things, though, to release a disappointing version of The Lion King and Aladdin. That makes sense.
Yeah, so is that why these two specific ones have been lumped together?
It makes sense,
because of those two films having come out back to back?
And
did
you
guys end up seeing Aladdin? Maybe we should talk about this on the bonus pod.
I didn't see either of them.
No.
I watched it like 2 days ago. It's awful. They fucked the songs up.
I was in a cafe or something that was playing the Will Smith version of Never Had a Friend Like Me.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck my ass, it's bad.
It's so bad. It's really, it's just a bad version of the song.
And like, I don't know if this is me putting my interpretation of things on top of it, but Will Smith sounded scared while he was singing it.
Right.
Because he was like, I'm killing Robin Williams again.
So he sings Arabian Nights at the very start of the film, which is kind of a nice way to open up.
Yeah.
But he also sounds very tentative while he's singing that.
Well, I don't know if I've ever heard him sing before.
That's what I thought as he started to sing.
Oh,
there might be a reason for this. And then they changed Friend Like Me to be a bit more rappy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't like it.
But it's still pretty much the same lyrics
and
without any of like the vocal changes.
Yes.
Like Robin Williams was doing, you know, obviously he's going like, da, 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 da.
Yep. What a great impression.
Yeah.
What a tribute
to the man.
I'm tearing up, honestly.
But Will Smith is just kind of like doing it all in Will Smith voice.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
It sounds weird.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's doing karaoke or something.
And all the sets look like Disney World parts of the park. I didn't like it at all.
Those Disney remakes, I have to say, are the first time I felt like a real kind of like shift in the age I am, where I'm like culturally the first thing that I'm like, I'm 100% out on this.
Yeah.
Like there's stuff that I wasn't into when I was younger, but like, does that make sense? Like getting to an age where it's like, oh, this is stuff is just starting to happen that is just 100% not for me.
Yes.
I mean, well, in a weird way, it is 200% for me, right?
Yeah.
Like my age bracket of like growing up with those films.
I see. Like if you had kids by now, then it would be for you.
It would be, I guess it'd be, because it's like kids would want to see it and I would go, oh, this is a nice thing. I remember, you know, this is an interesting way of introducing a new generation to this thing that I grew up with. But
I'm willing to bet that like in the sort of mid-2000s, they found it very difficult to convince a bunch of parents like, come and see Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
And parents would have been like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah, my kid can burn. I don't care about that.
And I wonder how
kid can sit at home and
Brave and Moana and stuff. I think maybe Moana did well, but I know for a fact these remake ones, Beauty and the Beast and these ones we're talking about, did incredibly well at the box office.
Yeah,
Crazy numbers.
I would like it if they used the same audio tracks and they reanimated it in like 3D, like CGI kind of Pixar style.
Right, like just do literally like a remastered video game.
Yeah,
like
I guess.
The graphics of this cartoon are better.
Yeah,
I would still think that was gross because it's like erasing the 2D history, which is beautiful animation.
Mm.
But I would enjoy that more than, I mean, the Lion King thing just looks weird. The big thing I've heard about that is it's just like, Well, yeah, they're like meant to look like real animals, so there's just no emotion on the faces.
Yeah.
It sounds so strange.
Yeah.
My parents went and saw it and liked it. My mum tutors kids, so she now feels like she has to go see like every kid's film that's really popping to relate to the students.
Just remember the originals. Remember that bit with I hope Mufasa is in this one.
Yeah.
You're so old you don't even know his name's Grafiki now.
But they went on like a gold class voucher that they'd gotten for Christmas or something. It's like just so fun of all the things you could use it on.
Yeah.
Mum and dad going to see a children's movie. But anyway, these games they're being re-released. I believe it's both versions of both games. Mm-hmm.
Oh, like because, the Mega Drive and Super Nintendo.
Yeah, because there was a weird licensing thing at the time, famously, where there were two different – one's Capcom, right? And then the other one was, I think, Virgin Interactive?
Something like that. There's some difference between them. But they're both, like, pretty, like, standard platformers. Like, they were well-received at the time back when platformers
were there. Yeah, I liked the Aladdin one. I never played the Lion King, but the Aladdin one was great.
I reckon they wouldn't hold up well, though.
Probably not, yeah.
Well, they've got like, a rewind – feature in them and like to make it, because I didn't realize this until recently. I was listening to a thing where they were talking about these games, and there was a thing not too long ago where someone who had worked, because they're famously brutal, like first level pretty easy and then known for their insane difficulty spikes,
right?
And one of the people who'd worked on them within the last like few years or whatever had like admitted in an interview, he's like, we were told to make the difficulty spike because that was in the days when the rental market was everything. So you really wanted to like beat someone's ass with the game. So they would just have to like keep fun. You know, you wanted them to be able to like rent it and have a good time for a little bit, but be like, oh, God damn it. I've got to spend the money on owning this if I ever want to have any hope of getting more than one level in.
Mm-hmm.
Not interested at all.
No, me either.
No, neither.
I did see a lot of people saying like, oh, wow, how could, you know, it was a real like headline grabber, like people going, oh, wow, how good's this? It's like, really, do you care? It's like cool to have the option, I guess, but are you going to play more than 5 minutes of it for just like passing it? Honest, just get a ROM. Well, just play the ROM for a few minutes.
Of course they've got a rewind feature now, because if you're making your game by taking the open source code from emulators that already exist,
you've got to have something.
You can chuck it all in.
Yeah.
Like you know they've already done it. Someone else has done the work already.
In a weird way, you know what I would respect more? We were talking about the borders that they have on the sign. That's just like on the side, the cartoon of the genie.
Yeah.
If the borders were ripped from the 3D current reboot version.
Oh,
so
you're
playing this like gorgeous pixel art SNES game, and then there's just this hideous blue Will Smith on the side of the screen as you're playing it.
Are they gorgeous? Were they ever good? I feel like they were always overrated, those things.
I think they looked good for the time.
Yeah, it was all jump and get this fucking floating thing. Who gives a shit?
I mean, visually at least. I remember they both had a level where you're in the – it's like a genie-themed level where you're in the cave and, you know, there's all these different cool – it's like kind of a dream sequence-y kind of level. So they're not bound by like, oh, you're in a marketplace, so this kind of stuff has to exist.
Yeah.
So it's like genie's head floating around and little magic effects and stuff that I remember being pretty impressive as a little kid.
Speaking of things that coming back that maybe should have stayed dead.
Yes. my ex-wife.
Jeffrey Epstein has been resurrected.
Fuck.
Someone is rebooting Telltale Games.
Oh, right. Yes. Some person who apparently is a fan of the company in the old games, but is mainly an investor or a tech person from what I was reading. Like they're doing it because it's a financial opportunity as much as anything.
Right. Yeah, like they're not going to be making stuff anytime soon, it seems like, because it's all different people. They'll offer some of the original people like freelance roles, they're saying.
Yeah.
And full-time positions being available in the future. But
Jesus.
it does seem like the primary reason for doing this would be to try and grab it, being able to put those games back on stores and make some money from that.
Because they can't do any of the ones that the licenses have expired, obviously. That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So they've just gone, okay, what have you still got? Oh, you've got like the Fables license. You've got this and that. Okay, I guess let's try and make some games before they expire. And I liked their approach. So a lot of people have had a go at them for the contract work thing. But what they're doing is trying to work with a model that was more sustainable, or that is more sustainable than what Telltale's was.
Right.
Telltale's were just like, let's just do everything and we'll do it within an inch of the budget that we have, hoping that it will sell enough to, you know, pay everyone and pay for the licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And at least they're trying to do it bit by bit. They're going, oh, yeah, we'll get some contractors on, we'll make this game. If it does well, we'll be able to make the next one.
Yeah, it makes sense from their point of view, but that's brutal. If you've worked at Telltale and then you abruptly lose your job because, not too abruptly, but anyway, the company goes under, you don't have work anymore, and then it's like some dude comes out of nowhere and goes, hey, do you want to go back to your old job from like, how long ago did it fall? Like a little while ago now.
Yeah.
So you've presumably like maybe moved on.
Yeah.
Certainly, hopefully moved on with your life. Like mentally you've let it go.
Yeah.
It's like, hey man, do you want to come back on a freelance casual basis? It's like, that's, who's going to take, I mean, I don't know.
Well, the people who didn't get work again.
Yeah.
That'd be enough. It's better than nothing.
True.
I'm willing to bet this goes pear-shaped.
Mm.
Because The background of these people is in like mobile development. One of them worked on Duck Dynasty, the game, and Power Rangers. Remember them?
So it's people who know about game licensing, about game development.
Knows a good license when he sees one.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows if that's even the case. And the other one worked at a company who outsourced work for video games and the physics company, Havoc.
Oh, okay.
What if he still has the license to Duck Dynasty and Power Rangers and that's his first move, Telltale Duck Dynasty Adventure, Telltale Power Rangers Adventure?
I mean, I'd be into the Duck Dynasty one.
Yeah.
I think the thing with this story for me is like, as good as the games were, like I liked a lot of them from the original company, it was managed poorly. Like that was managed poorly. So having another go and trying to manage it better isn't the worst aim. But it's just the creative aspect may get lost.
And it's not any of the same people and it's not the same stuff. So, like, it's a different company.
Yeah.
A different company has been formed.
And they might
be able to sell
games.
Some of Telltale's games.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, whether or not they'll even fucking make games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would be the way that just, I don't know, someone who goes in and like, we're going to do Telltale games. We're going to leap on this this carcass and try and reanimate it for our own. I would be surprised if one thing came out of them.
Yeah. It's kind of fitting though for Telltale. Like, okay, one guy, you know, went through, he did it his way. And now someone's going to go back and do it their way and maybe have a different outcome.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a go one day.
Yeah.
Should we get the Telltale games name? Because I feel like they will remember this.
We should quickly say as well, we are recording this mere hours before there's a Nintendo Direct airing.
Yes.
We are planning to probably do a little addendum to the end of the app. We'll record that tomorrow when the Direct has gone out and attach that to the end of this episode.
Yes.
That's if we watch the Direct and we think there's stuff worth saying, then we'll do that. So if you get to the end of the app and there's nothing there, well then, I mean, actions speak louder than words, boys. Mm. That'll say it all.
Mm-hmm. We're going to a Gears of War event where we have to get tattoos.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a true thing.
That's the reason why we can't record in a more timely fashion.
Yes.
We'll talk more about this next week, but we got invited thanks to our friends, thanks to our new friends over at Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
We've been invited to the, I guess, what is it technically? It's like the launch event for Gears of War.
Yeah, kind of.
Where we can play it, and they've also got tattoo stations set up.
They can cut Gears of War patterns into your hair.
Yes.
And there's
free beer.
Yeah. There was something else as well.
Playing the game?
Yeah, playing the game Gears
5. No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, the tattoo thing, I looked up a bunch of Gears of War tattoos just on Google after this. Not a lot of good ones out there.
No.
I don't know if it's an aesthetic that works well on the human body.
Mm. It's pretty tempting.
Yeah,
I've got to be honest.
Have a stupid tattoo.
I know. Maybe I just get the Gears of War logo tattooed over the top of that, so that way it's not like I now have two bad ones.
Yes,
I'm just kind of upgrading the original bad one into something.
Have you ever played a Gears of War game?
No.
All right.
But this is what I'm thinking. You know, recent Xbox owner.
Yes.
Gears is one of like the big Xbox exclusives. You know, I want to like this game.
Yes.
I don't want to have this Xbox and then turn out the new one comes out and I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
That would make me feel bad about my investment. And I feel like mentally maybe I would be more prepared to love it if I have part of the brand tattooed on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, you know, that's dire if I start playing it. I'm like, I hate this.
What if you went up to because they're tattoo artists, they'd be able to draw a lot of different stuff. You go up like, yeah, give me Halo.
Yeah.
Give me a fucking Spyro tattoo.
Give me Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much does a tattoo cost normally? What's the price of a tattoo?
If it's like a basic, just kind of outliney one, like around about $100, $150.
That's not nothing.
Yeah.
That's pretty good to get for free.
If you can somehow convince them to do one that you actually want, but like try and make it sound like it's a Gears of War tattoo.
Yeah. My favorite Gears of War character is this big cool dragon that I drew.
Yeah.
I wonder, I mean, I would they maybe let you do, like you going in and asking for like Mario, that's not going to fly. But what if you ask for like Bender from Futurama? Mm. Same voice actor is in that game. He's Gears of War adjacent.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you could like bend them into doing that.
Would you want a Bender tattoo though?
No, but I'm just like, then we can work from there. Then like, you know, you can if you can do like 5 degrees of separation.
Yeah, you're sitting there with a big chart going like, so you agree that Bender would be okay?
Okay,
well, Bender looks a bit like a beer can. You agree with that, right? Yeah, beer can sounds like bacon, right? Give me some bacon. Give me a bacon tattoo right
there. That's pretty cool.
Do the guys in Gears of War have tattoos on them? Like,
They're always wearing their big suits. I'm assuming they'd have some tattoos under
there. I'd say it's very heavily implied that they're quite tattooed.
Yeah. Let's get an anchor. Surely one of them has an anchor on their shoulder.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk more about this next week because of what tattoos
are. Are you boys going to get anything done to your hair? See, well, I would do.
Maybe I'll just get a haircut.
It looked like you already have to have a fade will then etch stuff into.
Right.
So maybe I'll go get a fade tomorrow.
Yeah. Look, I've got good news for you.
It's only fading in one direction.
Yeah.
Just going in and pointing at what's left of my fringe.
Hey, could you give me something on the hair? Yeah, whips out a Sharpie.
tattoo of hair.
Just the spray on. And then I turn up tomorrow to the event. I'm like, anyway, shave the old Microsoft logo into the side of this.
Can I please get a tattoo that says Beers of War?
Oh, dude.
Combines my two favorite things, bad puns and bad tattoos.
But I got to say, I'm really looking forward to this.
It's going to be
something.
Yeah.
The free beer is Young Henry's. Good brand.
Very good brand.
We will see. It will not influence our review of the game. We will see if... We do the Nintendo thing, you said. Something at the end, if you get to the end and there's a few minutes left, keep listening. There'll be a Nintendo thing.
Yeah. Yep.
If it's 35 minutes of Pokemon England, maybe not.
We can talk about that in a week.
Yeah.
There's a 40 minute prezo. Mm.
That's usually they're ones that are that long have some shit in them.
Yeah, so and Smash is out, so you know that they're not going to go through character by character.
Yes,
for 100 fighters.
There's a few sort of hanging games as well, like Metroid and that Shin Megami Tensei game, and I don't know. There's probably new stuff that they've got to. Because after Animal Crossing, I can't think of much that they've got sort of
probably dated and stuff. Obviously, the Breath of the Wild sequels now.
It's
been teased.
Yeah, I mean, we are getting to one of those points where it's like we've almost got everything out that they have coming up on the roster. Mm-hmm. So it does make sense that now would be a time where they start to go. I mean, this is insane. People listening to this now already know what's happened.
We're about to reflect exactly on this stuff.
Good point.
At the end of this episode. So let's stop talking about it.
Yep. But luckily, a lot of good games out at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Two big ones out in the last week.
Yeah.
Just before we get into them, there was some Cyberpunk footage that came out. And like a big 15-minute trailer for that. Or not big, but it looked like the same stuff that we've kind of seen. I'm still looking forward to that game.
Yeah.
Looks like what they've kept saying it is.
Totally. It hasn't discouraged me, but hasn't made me more interested. It just looks great still.
I saw some people being negative about it, which I think is insane.
What way?
Saying it didn't look as good as before and the trailer wasn't long enough or something. I don't know.
Do you think that? I think that's kind of a product. It feels like they've been filtering out a little, you know, pretty regularly.
Mm.
Similar to Death Stranding. Like, I've got the same thing with Cyberpunk that I do with Death Stranding. I'm just checked out on looking at any more of it until I play it.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I know everything I need to know at this point.
Yeah.
I don't really want to pour through, you know, all this like sport. I just want to go in clean at this point.
It didn't make me more excited because I'm already at maximum excitement. But so in the past sort of 6 months or so, I've been rereading a lot of cyberpunk books, like stuff that I read, you know, when I was a teenager that got me into the genre.
A cyberpunk book is a movie.
Whoa. And I'm noticing a lot of really specific references to like these classic novels, these like William Gibson novels. There's like a voodoo gang, which in a book that I read very recently, that's like a huge plot point. Like it's a whole storyline of like this interaction between like gods, sort of like those like Baron Saturday and stuff, and like AI within, you know, cyberspace. Mm-hmm. And that's in this game.
Yeah, right.
There's a bunch of other shit, like smaller stuff that was like, oh, this is going to be packed full of stuff for people who love this genre. Yeah.
If you like references, you'd love a little show called Family Guy, my brother.
Lois.
Oh, that's good. That's pretty good stuff.
If you love a whole bunch of references that don't really go anywhere, if you follow them through, you're going to love my resume.
If your resume at the end says, remember that bit in The Simpsons?
Yeah. Yeah. References. Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. The holy crap, Lois. This reminds me of the time I was in Batman. but yes, a couple of games out this week.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon we should start with one of them, which is called Control.
Oh, okay.
What do you guys think?
I think it's fucking good. I've finished it already.
No, I mean, what do you think in terms of should we start with that one?
Yeah. Slow down.
I like that one the most.
Yeah. Should we?
Let's talk about them both at the same time.
Okay.
Control keeps mentioning the astral plane, and astral chain is called astral chain.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's been a nice little through line between them.
You know what's weird that these came out in the same week? Because I think that they are, I think they have a lot of similarities. I think it's as if a Western studio and a Japanese studio got the brief of cops.
I've been thinking the
dealing
exact
in
same
paranormal.
Thing. Yes.
You know, these kind of areas that appear and kind of possess people.
Make it a bit weird in a fun way.
Apart from that, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Largely set in a police station. Apart from that, do what you want.
It's completely...
And the Western approach is like Metroidvania, third-person shooter, and well, then and the Japanese like, approach has mechs and shit in it.
And the Western approach is like, it's weird because like everything looks normal, but then sometimes the main character will have a hallucination.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Japanese one, it's weird because every
There's
factor
demons
of
everywhere.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. They it's really weird how similar they are in that very broad, but then like two just going off in completely different, they are not similar to play at all.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Control, yeah, is the one I focus on the most. I played a bit of Astral Chain. I think we're all like not that far into Astral Chain.
I haven't played it at all, so yeah that's a fair description.
but the Control, I like, yeah, fuck. It's fun as hell. It's got some issues.
Yeah, I think Tommy and I, did you start it first?
I did start it first, yeah.
And I started it very soon after that. And I think the first time we sort of messaged about it was like, the style of this thing is fucking incredible.
So stylish. And this came out of nowhere for me. Like I wasn't following this. I wasn't really aware of it. I haven't played any of the studio's other games. Mm-hmm. I think I just saw people talking about it because I think the reviews for it came out the same day as the reviews for Astral Chain mm-hmm. came out, and I was interested in that. And so seeing like, oh, this other game's getting a lot of buzz as well.
Yeah.
All right, fuck it. I'll go in. It's a chance to. It's on a bunch of things, but it's a chance to fire up the Xbox, mm-hmm. give that a bit of a nudge, and yeah, very immediately, just stylistic and cool as hell.
Yeah. So
very cinematic.
The start of it is very, very cinematic. Sort of, not experimentally so, but like it takes a very bold style and approach to how it presents stuff.
And it's doing the thing that Remedy, who are the people who made it, so they Max Payne and Alan Wake and that stuff,
right.
They've done a bunch of times, which is lift stuff out of particularly like the Twin Peaks-y, mm-hmm. X-Files-y kind of mm-hmm. bits of TV shows and movies and stuff from the past and do a take on them. It's very much got its influences.
Yeah.
There's the character talking to you in your head. There's mm-hmm. the kind of color palette stuff. There's the mysterious, like, who's this seemingly normal looking person,
sure.
but they are a bit off and talk weird.
The smoking man.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's got all of that shit.
It's very similar to a show called Fringe, which I think it was created by J.J. Abrams, but it sort of went off in its own direction. And it was it was about a team of people featuring mainly the protagonist was this woman who was an FBI agent who ended up investigating, you know, paranormal, you know, supernatural stuff.
Right.
And there was like alternate dimensions. It became very much a show about like this other dimension and how it interacts with the main one and how it, you know, all these timelines and shit like that. Weird observers, a lot of like modernist formal clothes and shit.
It's
very similar, probably not an influence because like you said, there's all this other shit, but it's the one I keep thinking of.
It's, yeah, it does sound similar to that. Because, and we won't do any spoilers here because, like, the story and the, well, the story isn't necessarily great. It's pretty straightforward and what, but like the sort of vibe of it is something that you want to just sink into without like having it too signposted beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. Because
I did read in the couple of reviews that I read before I got it, it's like all set in this one building and I thought, how's this that good? You know, just on paper.
Sure.
But then once you start playing it and you see how it's all unraveling, unfolding, it's like, oh, right, okay. It makes a lot more sense.
It kicks you straight into it. You're this woman named Jessie Faden who shows up at the Federal Bureau of Control, it's called. And over the course of it, you sort of are investigating these mysteries about, like, you're looking for a brother and you've got this voice in your head and there's, like, this enemy kind of mysterious force called the Hiss.
Yep.
Like within moments of the game starting, so I don't consider this to be a spoiler.
Yeah.
The previous director of the Federal Bureau of Control shoots himself in the head and you pick up his gun, which makes you the director now.
Yes.
And through the gun, this like other seemingly benevolent force, or at least the aligned with the FBC.
Yeah, which itself is not necessarily a benevolent force.
No.
It's one of those classic government organizations where it's like, What are you really doing? Who are you fucking over to get your stuff?
And there's
going?
A lot of you'll pick up like a whole lot of like little memos and stuff.
Yeah, which I'm reading a lot of. They're great.
They're really cool, and they give you that that thing of like cold government thing who doesn't really care if they fuck up people's lives because they think they're doing it for a greater good type
it's
of thing.
Very X-Files. All that stuff is extremely X-Files.
So
gameplay-wise, it's you get a gun. Yeah. It's mainly just a gun at the start. You can do other stuff later on with it. But
a little transforming gun that turns into multiple different guns.
Yes, which is a nice way of having a moddable gun.
Yeah.
But then it's you have like Jedi powers as well.
Yeah.
Which is really fun.
Which they kind of filter to you maybe a little slower than I would like throughout the game. Just because it's hard because the combat is so fun when you've got all of them.
Right, right.
When you're able to do a big combination of everything that is at your is available to you, you're really able to do some cool shit. Like there's a mix of this weapon, which can be like a after you have used resources to upgrade it, pistol, shotgun, automatic gun, like
sniper
a charge thing. And then you can also use a bunch of, these Jedi powers, which are like basically the Half-Life gravity gun.
Right.
And some others that come later. But they're kind of, I think they're better as a surprise if you don't know about them.
Yeah, yeah.
They did show a lot of them in the trailers and shit beforehand. So if you've seen any of that, you will know pretty much what all of them are.
Yes. I watched another trailer today and there was a power that I don't have yet. I was like,
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that'll be cool, but yeah.
Because you thought you were like near the end, you were saying today. Yeah,
I'm halfway. I've started the mission that is halfway through.
Right, right,
yeah. Right. It keeps up towards the end. Like, so the mystery is nice. The little story is cool. It's like,
it's mostly, certainly the first half, each thing you're doing is like, oh, you got to go talk to this person who might have some information about this. Mm. To get to them, you have to fix this, fetch this, and beat a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
That's basically the gameplay loop.
It's pretty much that. Yeah. And then, like, each of those characters will have an interesting enough thing about them. And you'll learn a little bit more along the way of these little memos and recordings and stuff that you can pick up and watch, which are great.
Yeah,
they're all, like, all of the memos are really well written. The videos that you see recorded, there are some of them around. There's, like, same as other Remedy games, little weird TV shows that they made for no reason.
Yep.
Yeah, the lab videos that they've done where they're testing stuff out.
Real-life actors.
The lab stuff and a lot of the intro cinematic, there's, like, actual full motion video mixed in, right?
Yeah.
It's which not just motion capture. It's they've filmed people and then put a filter over it.
It's done in a really cool way when it works, but we'll talk about all the technical stuff later.
Yeah.
So all of that kind of narrative stuff and like world building stuff is really well done. The look of it is great.
It's one of the best looking, one of the best stylistically games I've ever played.
The big
start of
a mission where the like title comes up, full screen.
Yeah.
Very, I don't know, what would you call that? You'd probably know better than me what that. It's very cinematic technique.
Large font.
He's done it again.
Like when you walk into a new area, it'll go like maintenance area or whatever.
There's a couple of movies that do it. The movie Funny Games Does right. it? Very, like, surprisingly at the start of that game, yeah. start of that movie, you're watching, like, this family drive along in a car listening to, like, classical music, and then Funny Games fills the screen and this loud metal music yeah. starts blaring.
I mean, like...
Cabin in the Woods does it as well.
I'm sure it's
Captain America Civil War did it.
Right, right.
Like, it's around, mm. but it's really effective here as well.
Yeah.
And there's a segment early on where you do things that are... This is what I was saying when I was talking about how it seemed like it would be pretty boring, the fact that it's all just set in this one building. Mm. But then it plays with that enough where there's segments that are not dream sequences, but, you know, supernaturally kind mm. of... Mm. Twin Peaks is like a very yeah. good reference point where it's like you, again, this... pull a switch and then you're somewhere different and it's yeah, like, yeah. you know, these things that are playing with like
perception,
time and space and perception
yeah,
and
yeah.
reality.
Because the
yeah.
building itself is this place called the Oldest House and it's like meant to be, it sort of morphs and changes and like is its own entity that they've mm. just kind of set up inside yeah. of.
It's like the whole, whatever that movie is where like they build the house on the Indian burial ground and so the house is fucked.
Treehouse of Horror episode.
So the bad, the kind of the evil force that you're battling is like a thing that takes over areas of the building and so you'll explore the building as it is normally and then when you're getting into these combat scenarios, you're in a bit of the building that's been corrupted.
Mm.
And
yeah.
that's how it kind of shifts around what's going on.
And it's taken over regular soldiers and stuff from the base. So you're yeah. fighting against enemies that are pretty much people with guns and yep. then there's a couple of weirder ones as you go on. But it's basically that for the whole time. But the combat is so fucking fun.
Yeah, yeah.
This mix of... So you've got your gun and you've got your powers. And both of them have an infinite ammo source that'll just run down.
Yes.
And have yeah. to recharge. And balancing between the two of them. So having to use all of what's at your disposal and then needing to move.
Yes.
If you stay in the one place, you'll end up dying.
So yeah. Yeah, you only can restore your health by picking up health... thingies
little
that drop
blue,
off
little dots.
Yeah, they droplets. Drop off enemies as you wound or kill them. So, and you do, you get hit a bunch. You can't really take cover. You can crouch, but you mainly have to run around gathering up health, moving around and attacking constantly.
Yeah. And you'll be able to dodge most bad attacks if you're moving.
That's true,
You've
yeah.
got like on your B button, there's a like kind of a
dash
yeah. thing and you can sprint around. And as long as you're moving like... some of the more effective things that the enemies have won't be able to hit you.
Mm, mm.
And you have other ways later on of dealing with taking damage and stuff. And just that way that it's making you use everything that you have, that's the biggest problem with shooters usually as well, is mm. that like often sitting, having an automatic rifle and waiting and then popping up and shooting and then stopping again is the best way to deal with most situations.
Yeah.
And it's fucking boring at some point, often. Yeah. And this makes you move around and get creative with what you're picking up in the environment to fling at enemies.
Yeah. And when you are doing that well, it's very, very satisfying.
It's really cool.
Yeah. And your movement is
more... You feel
more...
in control of the battlefield.
Interesting.
Your movement is more fluid than I would probably expect from a game like this.
Right.
Like the way your character moves around the screen is almost as if it's almost more like a... you know, as if it's like a cartoon platformer. Like
right.
she has a real,
sure.
doesn't have like a rigid like turning circle or anything like that. So you can, it does feel pretty easy to dart around and like you don't get stuck like,
it's
in
not
areas or anything.
That dissimilar to Max Payne.
Right.
And they're sort of Remedy games from the past. Like.
And the, definitely those Jedi Outcast games where they were more, not arcadey, but yeah, it was more just like, no, you can just like fly around and flip
yeah.
around and dash around.
Proper
without,
like
yeah.
pre-Gears of War, old-fashioned style third-person shooter, which
yeah.
is very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, the combat every time is great. It finds things to do to give you stuff beyond like just sort of the main story going through. So it is kind of Metroidvania-ish,
mm-hmm.
like it's, not to a huge degree.
No, but there's a bunch of doors that you can open later where you have
yeah.
a higher clearance that you couldn't before and there's little pickups and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like it...
I would say by the broad definition of the genre it probably is, but also I think you tend
yeah,
to think of
know.
Them as more like 2D,
yeah.
generally
yeah.
speaking.
You can go sort of all around the environment, but if you're just kind of going through the main story, it's
you just go forward
area
yeah.
to area,
yeah.
which is fine.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's not that big of a deal with it. And the things that it'll give you to do along the way are like there's some specific side quests where it's like, I'm missing these things. Go find them. Mm-hmm. Or you need to stop these things from doing this thing. Like I'm talking around them because finding out what those things are. And
yes.
They all end up being pretty similar. Go to this area and kill X number of enemies. Mm-hmm. But the combat is so fun that every time you're in it, it's varied by the nature of how it's designed.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's fun to do more of the combat.
And then when it's like those creative, like, oh, you're actually in a weird different area or dimension or whatever, extra fun bonuses because everything else is also fun.
Yeah. So then it'll also have these kind of random missions show up seemingly on a timer or something, mm-hmm. I guess, that will pop up and be like, hey, there's this problem going on in this area.
Yeah.
Go and solve it if you can. They'll tend to be a little more difficult. And they'll give you some extra little bonus items and stuff, but not much gives you the ability points, which is what you're really looking for.
Yes.
Because all the mods and stuff, so with your weapon, you get ability points which go into your powers, which are very powerful, and the you also have weapon mod slots and like personal mods, which will give you more health.
Yeah, or more energy or whatever.
Yeah, this will reload quicker.
Yeah.
And so on. They don't do heaps. They're not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But they're there.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yep.
And it all works really well. The way it looks, the
fucking interfaces, everything. It's so simple and clean, but very, very stylish.
When it all works. Mm-hmm. Everything that's designed in this game is put together really well. I like the structure of it, the story, the pacing, the acting is good.
Yes.
The visuals are good. The writing is good. The combat feels great. Every part of it works really, really well. Other than... almost every technical aspect of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the big fucking negative.
Other than we all need PS4 Pros or fucking whatever.
I've got an Xbox One X. It's fucked.
Really?
It doesn't I've heard even on the PS4 Pro it's bad. I think the only really way to play this is the PC.
Even
I'm not
then,
even that far in and I've already had some rough stuff. I've had some really brutal encounters.
There's huge problems with... so there's pretty much every technical problem that can happen with a game is happening in this. If you push up to load the map, which you'll want to do pretty often, it will take fucking forever.
Yeah, often you have to do that thing. It'll load, say, the font, but it won't load the drawing.
Yeah.
So you've got to close it again, open it up again, and maybe it'll work then.
If you go into the menu, if you just fucking push select to go into the menu, or whatever the stupid buttons that are select now are called,
start.
It will take forever. It'll hitch up and go weird.
A lot of pop-in on textures?
So much. Yeah. You'll see so many like fuzzy textures there that take 20 minutes to look. Not 20, I'm exaggerating. But like 20 seconds isn't an exaggeration, which is fucking crazy.
Immersive, like well put together game where the atmosphere is so strong, the story, or at least the world building is incredibly good.
Yeah.
The fact that you can walk into a room and every texture is blurry, it makes it almost more frustrating.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. And then the videos that are really, really cool and will play like in world and a nice touch and are really well done will desync with their audio really often.
Yeah.
They will get choppy and kind of you'll lose a bunch of footage from them. They're not working right.
Mm.
Every aspect of the visuals breaks at some point.
Yes.
Other than I've not like fallen through the world and stuff like that.
Yeah, the game hasn't crashed, which has happened with a few more games recently than has ever happened to me on a console.
Yeah.
But it hasn't crashed, but
I haven't had it crash. And the frame rate fucking drops at like with the combat is so fun and it is so undercut by not being able to control it properly.
Yeah.
Like I've had some brutal slowdown in a combat thing that just made it very frustrating.
When the most fun thing that you can do is happening where it's like you're shooting this guy, he like falls over or something blows up, you grab something, throw it at this other guy and there's another explosion, all of that starts to just go it's so lame.
And it's really my only problem with the game is that like the technical side, it seems like it's been released way earlier than it should have.
Yeah
it's a shame because it's like that's you know, you're saying that's the only problem, but it is a big one. It's not just, you know, some people complain in games about like there's frame rate drops here and there or whatever, but by and large, generally speaking, you can forgive that because it's like, oh, well, there's stuff going on, like whatever.
Mm.
But in this, it's like I said, I'm not even that deep in and I've already had a couple of moments where it's like, oh, this is just kind of hard to play.
Yeah.
Like I need this to be reliable at this point of the game.
Totally. And everything that I like about it is undercut by it. The combat gets worse because it gets the frame rate drops.
Yeah.
the story and presentation stuff gets worse because it'll cut out. Like, I had a whole cutscene play out where there was no dialogue.
Fuck.
Yeah,
so
right.
I went onto YouTube and fucking looked up that cutscene because it was gone. It was done.
Yeah.
Right.
Fuck. There's, like, if you're watching those videos and they break, then that sucks. The loading times are fucking long and they're really annoying.
They're brutal,
You have to load between different areas really often and it sucks up a lot of time. And then as you go into, like, you finish something in a cutscene or start to play, it'll be chopping around as it's loading. So then even if it is working, like the audio is there, you're still getting really like framey fucking images off of this cutscene, which is just shit.
It'll be patched not pretty soon, but they have said they are working on it, as they should be.
They've said they're aware of it because they know they were releasing this 4 months too early.
Like, I'm kind of tempted to hold off on playing more.
There's no reason.
I mean, I really want to play. I mean, I love what I've played of it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Like I said, it came out of nowhere. Within an hour, I was like, fuck, this is so good.
It's very fun, but I don't think there's any reason not to hold off on it right now. Like, if that stuff might be fixed, it will be a better game if it is.
Yeah. Unless you can play it on PC.
Even the PC version, you'd need a great one. I don't know how intrinsic this stuff is to the way that this game is designed. I have no idea if the PC version is good or not.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's just fucked. If they're like, you know, I thought, I'll be fine. I've seen some stuff about this, but I got one X. But even on the PC, I think it's still not.
Which is crazy when you think about it, because it's not like it's doing, I mean, it looks great and everything, but it's not like you're, you know, in a scene where you're outdoors and there's like, you're fighting 50 people. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it is weird that it's...
It's just unpolished. It's just not finished yet properly, so... That is the one big negative aspect to it. It's really my only negative aspect to it. Like, you really don't like shooting games or whatever.
It hasn't stopped me from playing it, though. Like, having said that, all of that, it's all true. It's not been enough to make me want to stop playing it at all. I haven't done anything else since I started playing it. I'm going to work, I'm going home, having dinner and playing Control. I really, really love it a lot. It's fantastic.
Great. I burned through it.
Yeah.
Loved it. Want to keep playing it because, like, that, you know, I finished the main bit, but there's stuff you can do. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Was this on your guys' radar before
Yes.
Dropped?
From the first trailer, I was like, that looks fucking sick. I've played Max Payne. Played Max Payne, I think, all of them.
Yeah.
And really liked 3 a lot. That was really, really fun.
3 wasn't Remedy. I think that was the one that Remedy didn't make.
Who was that?
It was one of the rock stars.
Right. Well, I played the first one.
Yeah.
Maybe the second one, definitely third.
I think I'm right in saying that. I'm going to look it up.
I didn't play Alan Wake.
Right.
And it seems... But I do remember wanting to and looking at a lot of videos and being like, oh, okay. It's taken a similar approach maybe to the game's style and presentation.
Yeah.
Similarly creative from what I know of it.
And Quantum Break as well, which was them using the real actors, having the sort of powers... They have definitely a style of thing that really works for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Every part of it is just the only way I could see, other than the technical stuff, not being into this game is if you just don't like the style.
Yeah, sure.
Or don't like the combat.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the only two things.
Yeah.
But they are made in such a way that definitely I could see them not being for everybody.
Sure.
But they happen to gel.
Yeah. So it's very Inception-y is one I've seen a lot stylistically. It's a lot of the mysterious stuff is sort of like Lost, except it is done better in this game than it was in that show.
Yeah, it's great.
Good shit. 10 out of 10.
I love it.
It's like 7 at the moment for me just because of the technical stuff.
I can overlook that.
It's like
I'm not reviewing the technical stuff. I'm a style and substance person.
But if I was going to say my enjoyment of the game,
yes,
one out of every 4 occasions I was doing something I liked, it was undercut by the technical stuff. Mm-hmm. So it'd be about 75%.
Okay,
does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I will say it's still a 10 out of 10. But if the technical stuff was fixed, it'd be an 11 out of 10.
Oh, my God.
This is why we don't have a rating scale.
This guy is calming his little pants over this game.
I'm just subverting reality, okay? In a little game I like to call Astral Chain, which I have not played.
Yeah, I spent a few hours this week playing Astral Chain. Mm-hmm. You've played, like 2 hours or something?
I've dipped in, but...
Very early on.
Yeah.
I like it so far. it definitely coming from this very like control, which is very like, you know, cool, slick, very sort of restrained, very elegant, very classy presentation.
Limited color palette.
To then opening Astral Chain, which is like a lot of the, in my opinion, worst tropes of anime. Bad song to kick it off.
I disagree.
You didn't like the song? I mean, you did like the song.
I think the song really works. I wouldn't listen to it on Spotify, but like,
Man,
that whole the whole intro section that I've played, I'm only up to sort of leaving the police station for the second time.
Right. So I'll just say, I love a bad anime intro song.
Yeah,
that's good to me.
It's sick.
Yeah,
it's really good, and they've got they do it like it. Fuck off, Tommy.
No, no. My point is more that like coming straight off the back of Control, just made all that stuff all the more jarring.
Right.
Like it made it stick out more as like hard in isolation. If that was like the only thing I'd played for a couple of weeks, I probably could have just committed to it and gone, all right, I'm along for the ride. Mm. But when you've just played this thing that's like very restrained and cool, and then there's this like the voice acting is like so over the top, and it stuck out. I was just like, no, I'm over it now, but it was just like the first half hour, it was like, oh boy.
No, I loved it. It was like having like a foie gras and then eating a fucking warhead afterwards or whatever, you know? It was sick. Because like literally the first thing the first thing that you do in this game, the first moment you're allowed to control your character is driving a motorbike at full speed down a tunnel. While like, and
you're taught how to do all this different stuff on the bike, and I'm now maybe like 4 or 5 hours in. The bike hasn't come back yet.
Great.
I think it's only in the intro.
It's the same. It basically just teaches you that ZR is to shoot.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the attack button.
Yeah, I've heard this is just like you hold down one button. Is that what this game is?
Not in so far for me.
So the setup is that the Earth's been taken over by these demons. There's these gates that kind of swallow up whole areas. Mm-hmm. There's this one area of Earth left. You're working in the police force that controls that area. There's these demons that are called the Chimera, and this agency has worked out a way to basically capture them and turn them into weapons. Right. And you're one of the few people who can actually control them. So when you're in combat, basically in the whole game, you have your little kind of monster legion guy on a leash that's like called the Astral Chain. So you are controlling you and you're controlling the legion independently.
Right.
The legions have like, they'll do attacking themselves if they're near something.
You send them out and then they kind of automatically attack. Yeah. But then there's all these different things that you can do so you can then like move them around. If you loop them around an enemy, the chain will like bind them up so then they're paralyzed for a little bit. If the enemy's
like
charging at you,
you can
like stretch out the chain and then pull them back like wrestling style and stuff like that. You end up unlocking 5 different ones that all have, so there's one that's like basically like an archer for long range stuff. There's one that's like a lion that you can ride around, like getting around faster in battle and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the reviews that I read of it before it came out were talking about how the more enjoyable bit is the fact that you're doing a lot of police work. So you're out in the field gathering evidence and looking for clues and stuff. And I read a couple of reviews that were like, you know, I actually enjoy that bit more than I've been enjoying the combat. And I thought that sounded insane. And now I absolutely agree with it.
I love just
going around being a cop.
Mm.
Like just do it. Before you go into the combat bits, each like mission is like you have to go and it's like, okay, this thing happened, so we've got to work out, you know. So you just basically walk around this area and then you're kind of quizzed at a certain point on, oh, now what was the color of the hat or whatever, and you have to like remember from clues that you've gathered and stuff. The sense of the style and the look and the feel of the world are fucking great.
Right.
I really love that aspect
of it.
It
looks amazing.
It's so slick. Okay. It's so stylish.
Especially for a Switch game, it runs really well and looks quite nice.
Mm. Yeah,
That aspect of it, especially coming from Control, which doesn't run well. Like, it's smooth. It's like pretty good looking. It's you know, got the jagged edges and shit that Switch games tend to compared to everything else. But the design of it, again, I think
that's the difference though between developing something for one console and having to develop it across.
Mm.
Like they just kind of know how to work and manipulate the hardware to get the most out of it.
And I did say that a difference was the limited color palette, but this has a pretty limited, it's very red focused and sort of like,
When you're in the gate area,
yeah,
it's more like blue when you're in the
blue
real
and red,
world.
But like very solid-y kind colors,
monochromatic.
You play as one of either a male or a female character. They're both cops, but true anime style. The male character has a cool police suit. And the female character, thigh-high boots.
Yeah.
If you dressed up a cop, you go like, well, the shorts have to be short.
Man, you pick at the start which one you want to be. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to play as the girl. I'm always the guy because I'm a guy. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to be a bit progressive here.
Yeah.
Give myself a girl.
Give myself a real pat on the back. I'm going to play as the girl. This is cool. And then the whole game is just me staring at this anime ass for the whole thing going, I feel fucked. this feels worse than if I had just gone the boy because I'm a boy.
Like, the one that you're not will then be your twins and will be like a character in the game.
Right.
It seems good so far. The it's very set up in like level.
Yeah, it's very like, so Platinum who made it, and it's that's got that similar beat to Bayonetta, where I think it's like wanting you to eventually go back through the chapters and try and get a higher ranking. And
there's like items you can get for getting the S plus and whatever.
Yeah.
If you're playing on like there's a mode called Platinum Preferred, which is just normal, I think is basically it. And then there's like Casual or something, which is you won't get ranked and it's a little easier.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You get more revives and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I'd read a lot about in the lead up to it was that the combat, very simplistic. And I don't know that I really agree with that.
No.
There's a lot going on between, so you can hold down the L trigger and then use the right stick to move the Legion around independently.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of be aware of that if you want to line up things like binding
yep.
the enemy or doing the rope trick thing. You then have your own attacks with ZR.
Mm-hmm.
ZL just by itself retracts.
Your own attacks, though, are just like depending on what weapon out, you have one thing you can do with
yeah,
it.
Right, yeah. But then like ZL will retract the Legion or then send it back out.
Mm-hmm.
You then have a dodge button. You then also have...
If you time your dodges as well, then it's like kind of slows down for a second. You can do like a powerful attack in response.
You then have a button to change between legions in battle. They each have their own unique ability that one of the L triggers uses that have their own set of controls.
And they're on a timer while they're out. Like they're kind of, not health, but like some number. They've got a number ticking down, and when that runs out, they retract.
Right.
So if you pull them back in before that number's down, it recharges quicker. If you let it run all the way out, it'll recharge slower.
There is a lot of stuff to keep on top of.
Yeah.
And it's true that if you're just up against someone attacking them, well, you just are using like one button. There's no combos or anything.
Mm.
But if you really want to get the full like advantage of everything at your disposal, it is quite easy to go like it wasn't until like I'd forgotten for a long time. Oh, yeah, you've got the rope thing that you can do where you can trip them. You know, there's like little things that you do really need to keep at the top of your head.
And those kind of combat areas are pretty segmented, it seems like, from the exploring areas. Like you'll have a big kind of explore chapter and then you'll have like this chapter's all combat, it looks like.
It's basically each mission cop jumps off with a lot of exploring.
Right.
And then you get right into combat and there's like kind of a boss and sort of bit at the end.
There's a cool thing that you get items that are like you get two different types of like health potions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
One of them are normal and you can keep them forever. One of them have little exclamation marks next to them. You can only use them in that level or case file, whatever it calls them, which is a nice way to make me not hoard them.
Yeah.
Oh, another cool thing move that you have is like when the Legion is out, if you hold down ZL and then push ZR, you go flinging towards where the Legion is.
Right.
So that can like bring you into battle a bit quicker, and then you can time attacks off the back of that.
Right.
A lot of these things also get used when you're exploring. So like if there's a ledge that you can't get to, you send the Legion off and then it like grapples you across.
Right.
But it's like, it's really stylish. It's really slick. The world is great. This whole kind of lore. These things too, because they're like captured demons.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of them that I just unlocked that is like, they're like slaves.
Yeah.
Like he's constantly like kind of grabbing at the thing that's around his neck to try and like, I kind of like that Cole element of like, it's so well designed and so well thought out and such a believable world, even though it is so over the
really
top.
Really over the top. Mm.
Yeah.
But really nice looking, and I like the presentation of the anime style of it. I think it's cool. It's very Platinum.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a couple of dodgy camera things in the combat that I've found.
There's a fair few options for changing like camera rotation speed and lock-on stuff that have helped a little bit.
Okay, I should go and do that.
For me, because yeah, I was finding the same thing and then I just kind of increased the speed and there's some lock-on stuff that I didn't really fuck with and it was fine.
There's a really cool weird thing where there's a girl that works in the police station who is like the mascot of the police station. She dresses up like a big dog. Have you gotten up to this yet?
No.
What are you looking at?
A helicopter was flying really low. It's gone behind behind the houses now. Yeah, that's how low it was.
Jeez. Yeah, there's this big like she's this big cartoon dog that runs around the studio the station, and she gets you to do like there's missions in the police station that you'll do where she's like, "Hey, people in the station need cheering up. Do you want to dress up as the dog for me and like go and she like thinks that no one in the station knows that it's her in the costume, so. People will be like, "Where's Lappy?" And she's like, "Why would you ask me about Lappy?" Like, it's just such a bizarre little cartoony thing that's like added into the mix. But
that's very funny.
It's really nice. And it, that thought's gone out of my head. I've only played it in TV mode so far.
Yeah, I don't know how it would go.
There's a lot going on the screen.
Handheld would be rough stuff.
A lot
stuff,
of small
I think.
Fonts on the TV.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
I'm interested.
Often pretty, like, regularly you're fighting five or six different things at one time and it's very chaotic, lots of explosions. Like you, if you do enough attacks in a row, there'll be a little glint on the screen and if you hit ZL at that exact moment, you and your Legion do like a combo attack together. Oh, yeah. So between having to look out for that, having to look out for when you're being attacked so you can dodge, having to keep an eye on where everything is on the screen, like, yeah, there is a lot going on, which, I think handheld would be rough.
I want to play more.
Yeah, it's good. I'm really enjoying it.
I was probably going to give it a miss just because there's a bunch of shit going on, but I think I'll play it before the end of the year.
I'd be interested to know what you think of it. I think the world and the style is something I can see being up your alley.
Yeah.
But I think you'd like it.
Well, I like Devil May Cry. I like Bayonetta. I do like a lot of those kind of games.
Mm.
I like Nier Automata, and this is scratching a bit of that itch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of combat. It's also made me think like, yeah, I'm really keen for the next Bayonetta.
Mm.
Like, it's just reminding me of, because the emphasis isn't as much on dodging in this, which I remember it's like a huge part of Bayonetta.
Yeah.
Like the time slowing down and then scoring more hits off the back of that. It's not quite that same thing, but yeah.
Maybe now that Astral Chain's out, we'll see more about Bayonetta tomorrow.
Ooh.
Or yesterday.
People will know if they...
God, it feels like we're in control. What?
No, it would have been yesterday.
What day is it?
It'd be earlier today.
Yes, you're right. Still. Sorry.
Thank you for the apology. You'll be able to find out.
I'm retracting my apology.
You'll be able to find out if you... look at the end of this, and if this goes for more than roughly the hour and 6 minutes we've done, you'll know that we've put some of that Switch Direct shit, Nintendo Direct stuff at the end.
Yes.
But if not, maybe this is it.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week in that case.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find links to all the stuff that we do. We have the Patreon. Thank you to everyone that supports us on that. We have a lot of premium apps.
Good shit in the Patreon at the moment.
Yeah.
A favorite songs thread.
Oh, yeah.
Basically every movie that comes out gets a discussion thread. A lot of game talk. It's a fun little group.
Yeah. It's good stuff. So check all that out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. And as we say... here, sort of at the end, potentially, of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Yeah, maybe I don't need to do one this week just because we might have more after this.
I'm going to make you do it if we do one tomorrow after that.
Right. Okay.
Enjoy the Switch Direct talk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.